So thank you for the opportunity to present to the panel. My name is Mike Wayne. I work for the American Sport Fishing Association as their Atlantic Fisheries Policy Director. For those of you not familiar with ASFA, we are a trade association of tackle manufacturers, a national association with about 900 business members across the nation. I cover, of course, policy topics in the Atlantic region, which we define as the Mid-Atlantic and New England areas. So prior to working at ASA, I worked at the National Marine Fisheries Service and at the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. So there are a lot of familiar faces on the call today, and it's great to reconnect with everybody on this really important topic. A couple things that I wanted to just talk about before I jumped into this harvest control rule approach that we've been working on. There's been a lot of challenges associated with the incorporation of the new fishing effort survey and the impacts that that has had on the catch estimates. And I think this really comes down to similar to what we heard from a lot of the presentations in the previous session. There's just not a lot of people that get intercepted by the MRAP. There's not a lot of anglers that get intercepted by the MRAP program. And so we had essentially this recalibration of what those catch estimates were all the way back to 1981. And it's really left a lot of people scratching their heads because A, they fundamentally don't necessarily have a great understanding of how the MRAP program works. And then from what we thought our catch was, that has changed essentially overnight. And so that's basically made a lot of the confusion worse. So although it might be slightly outside the scope, one of my recommendations is that to try to bring some confidence back to the MRAP program. And I think the best way to do that is through education and outreach. I think it would be hugely advantageous for the agency, NIMPS, to try to work to get the angling community to better understand A, how the program produces catch estimates, and B, you know, how all those pieces work together from the angler going out and fishing and following the regs to producing a catch estimate based off of that activity. So I just wanted to kind of highlight that as an overarching theme. And really, this, our harvest control rule approach, we've been working on this with Adam Nawalski, who's a Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council member. And the idea here generally overarching is there a better way we can use the MRAP data with our management program? So I'll talk a little bit more about that as we work through this presentation. So just a quick outline, I'm going to go through a little bit, kind of an abbreviated background because Kylie and Julia covered a lot of that. And then I'll dive into the meat of the harvest control rule approach, which we collectively submitted as part of a rec commercial allocation amendment that the Mid-Atlantic Council and the Commission were working on. That our harvest control rule approach has since been moved to the Recreational Reform Initiative, which you've heard Julia talk a lot about. But I just wanted to present sort of our idea for how this could have been addressed at the allocation level and how we planned or how we intended the HCR to work with the MRAP data that we have and with the management program that we use in the Mid-Atlantic. So just a quick background here. We know that recreational and commercial fishing are two very different activities. And we know that the data associated with those activities is also very different. So on the rec side, we've talked a lot about MRIP and the catch estimates. And on the commercial side, they function differently in that they have catch weigh-outs at the dock and often benefit from both harvester and dealer reporting to verify what their catch levels are. So we have two very different data sets that are used in the management program. And although we have such different data with various levels of uncertainty, we use a pound-based quota management system for both sectors. So as we heard this morning, on the rec management side, the state set measures collectively to predict the RHL, or predicted to achieve the RHL. And then there's an analysis of what the actual catch level was against that RHL using the MRIP data. And that comes and is associated with problems because of the uncertainty in the catch estimates that we've heard a lot about. On the commercial side, it operates differently in that a quota is set, there are measures that control the landings, and then they're actually able to do in-season management and use that timely data to close the fishery once the landings are reached. And so that whole system that they have in terms of weigh-outs at the dock and the dealer and harvester reporting allows them to minimize the accounting problems associated with the catch data. So I talked a little bit about this in my overarching introduction, but we have this new effort survey and the rec catch estimates. The new effort survey resulted in higher rec catch estimates all the way back to 1981. And so our stock assessment models generally interpret those increases in catch with higher ABCs. So the model says if you were catching more, there had to be more out there. And so therefore, the ABCs all get lifted. And so one of the one good example of that was the summer flounder ABC in 2019, which before the MRIP estimates was 15 million pounds. And then after the MRIP catch estimates were revised, that increased to 25 million pounds. And so we saw a huge jump in the ABC from the recalibrated MRIP data. The problem with that is the recreational measures stayed the same because we were already catching those fish. There wasn't any changes to, you know, anglers going out and catching fish. It was just simply how are we estimating the catch and what does that effort look like? And so the measures, the management measures on the rec fishery did not change, but the commercial sector saw a substantial increase in their quota from the MRIP data. And so we heard a lot of folks grumble about this because it was just really confusing about how a change in data could bring such a disruption to kind of how we manage the fishery. Basically, from your general angler's perspective, in an overnight time frame. So when we were sort of approaching this allocation amendment, because now we had this issue where the allocation was based on the old MRIP data, and so there was a mismatch that needed to be corrected. And so the council launched into an allocation amendment to try to address that. And that's where you heard a lot of the public input about, you know, how is MRIP, how is the uncertainty in MRIP really driving a lot of this management response? And it led us to try to think about, is there a better way that we could approach this? And so the premise that we came up with was, if we can't manage the uncertainty of MRIP, can we tweak the management system to account for that uncertainty? And so it's what we're presenting is, I think, very similar to the envelope of uncertainty approach that Julia talked about earlier. And the premise of the harvest control rule is that access can be defined for the recreational sector as a combination of size limits, bag limits, and seasons. And that's directly relatable to commercial allocation in pounds because access can be more or less restrictive based on stock condition, just like changes to size limits, bag limits, and seasons can be more or less restrictive based on stock condition. So to try to walk you through what this looks like on the water, I wanted to talk about sort of the endpoints of our harvest control rule approach. And so the two endpoints here are when the stock is very healthy and when the stock is in poor health. And so under healthy condition, the measures that we would typically see are the least restrictive. They would maximize access and participation, and they would allow for growth in the fishery. Just like on the commercial side, you'd see the highest quotas, you'd see market and landing capacity is met, and you'd see sort of an asymptotic market price, meaning if we brought more fish to the dock, we wouldn't necessarily change the market price based on that. It's reached its highest level. Whereas on the poor side, we have the most restrictive measures on the recreational side, the lowest amount of access, loss of infrastructure, loss of for hire business, because it's just not worth it to pay to go fishing. And that's associated with, on the commercial side, loss of quota, loss of markets, no supply, and not enough pounds to justify commercial folks actually going out and taking those trips, along with the loss of shoreside processing. So to visualize this, this would be a stepwise harvest control rule. Let me just orient you to this figure. So on the y-axis, we have the access scale going from most at the top to least at the bottom. And then on the x-axis, we have the stock status scale, which is essentially biomass divided by BMSY. So as the stock is most healthy, so looking at step A, we would have the most amount of access. And as the stock is the least healthy, so falling into that overfished condition at step D, we would have the least amount of access. And so the idea behind the harvest control rule approach is to try to bring a lot of stability to the management program and be adjusting the measures and the access of the resource based on the stock condition and moving away from sort of this, the way we currently do things, which is trying to chase the RHL and being tripped up a lot by the uncertainty associated with the MRIP data. Now, as you can see, this is very similar in concept to an ACL in the sense that as stock condition improves, you see more access being granted and a change in the measures. And as stock condition decreases, you see this harvest control rule approach be receptive to that change. And I think the other thing I was thinking about as we had our discussion today is it's with the stock assessments now being conducted every 2 years, I think it really lends itself to using a system like this because we will have relatively quick turnarounds on stock assessment and stock condition. And then in the interim, I think there's opportunity to use stock indices as an example, as Louise brought up, which would be able to give us an indicator about how the stock is performing in the interim years. And perhaps that could be used to help us decide which step we should be going to in the harvest control or rule approach as we wait for another stock assessment. The other aspect of this is that at each step, these management measures for the recreational fishery are predetermined. So there's sort of a good stability aspect to this approach in which the recreational sector knows what their size limits, seasons, and bag limits will be at each step in the process. And obviously, that process requires quite a bit of stakeholder input to decide. So everyone's probably thinking, okay, but how do we actually do that? And so we had put forward sort of a methodology to try to accomplish this in which we could easily pull management history and pull the recreational removals data from MRIP, and then match that management and removals history to stock status in each step. And from that information as a starting point, we could use that to analyze a range of alternatives for each step in the harvest control rule. So there's good management history that can inform this approach. And I think that that's what we're saying is that's a reasonable starting point for deciding what the measures would be at each step. And then possibly that should be further informed by stakeholder input. And then our idea on this was to demonstrate that this could work over multiple year cycles using sort of that history as an example. So in this approach, we cannot, it's not exempt from accountability, but accountability would work differently to how we currently do accountability. And so there's the possibility to be proactive. So for example, if an assessment or indices indicate stock condition is in continuous decline, then maybe an accountability measure could be that there is a requirement to move to a lower step. So there's the ability to be proactive instead of sort of being reactive if you're at sort of the endpoints of each individual step. You're able to be responsive if you see sort of continuous decline in stock condition. And then, of course, with an approach like this, we would want sort of a formal review beyond accountability on a fixed time frame, and we had just suggested every 5 years. So just some further thoughts on this in on my closing slide here. We had initially submitted this as part of the allocation amendment. We know that it has since been moved to the REC management reform initiative. And we acknowledge that it's in need of further development. We were throwing this out as an idea for the FMAT to work with and to further develop, that of course we would help them do. And I just wanted to reiterate that the harvest control rule approach adjusts access in terms of management measures to stock condition, just like an ACL does. And then that this approach would bring more stability to the fishery and the management program. And of course, the most critical part of it is going to be the stakeholder involvement, because deciding what the measures are for each individual step is going to require a lot of stakeholder input. And I think that it really provides the opportunity for the management program to re-engage with recreational anglers and bring some acknowledgement to the fact that, you know, we're trying to use the MRIP data at a level in which it brings some confidence back to the fisheries management program. And I really think that that would help us enhance the management program in the Mid-Atlantic, especially for a lot of these species that we've seen at really healthy stock levels, but yet are still under some relatively strict management measures, despite them being so healthy. So that's a quick presentation on the harvest control rule. I know that it's a lot to sort of understand in a short amount of time. Stacy, we have a write-up of this harvest control rule that I'd be happy to share with the panel, which I think would help dive into some of the details as sort of a follow-up to our discussion today.